Acts chapter 15, verse 36 is where we'll begin speaking. I'm going to tell you something that you didn't, that I'm sure you were not aware of. And this is going to come as a big shock to you, so prepare yourself. Okay? Are you ready? Say amen if you're ready. God's people are not perfect. They're not. We're not. Let me rephrase that. We're not. And that's what we're going to see today. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Paul and Barnabas have been at Jerusalem. They've now come back. They went to Jerusalem to answer the question, do you have to keep the law of Moses to be saved? And of course, the church at Jerusalem answered that question. They made their ruling, if you will, or told them, no, salvation is by grace through faith. They've sent a letter back to this church at Antioch to inform them. And now Paul and Barnabas are back at Antioch, and they've been here a few days. So, or a little while. We don't know exactly how long since their trip to Jerusalem. But verse 36 says, and after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they are. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia, and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We rejoice and thank you for your word, whereby we may feast spiritually and grow spiritually. And now, Lord, I pray you speak to us through your word, that you would open ears and hearts, minds, and just, Lord, draw all men to you. We pray above all in this service today that your will be done in every individual. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And I made that statement, God's people are not perfect, because I think sometimes we forget that. As a matter of fact, I think we have some unrealistic expectations of God's people sometime. And we set some of them up on this pedestal that we don't worship them, but we think, oh, they're way up here. And then when they do something that is not becoming to the child of God, and we're just so disappointed and so surprised. But the reality is, number one, God's people mess up. Amen? Come on. God's people mess up. It's just a fact. And that's what we do in the opening today in this message. We take a look at Mark and Mark's failure. Paul and Barnabas get into an argument as they make plans to go back to the places they've already been, strengthen the brethren, encourage the brethren. Paul suggests to Barnabas they return and visit these guys who they've won to the Lord and established churches. And, you know, what a great example that is of making disciples. You don't abandon people after you get them saved. You realize nowhere in the Word of God does it say get them saved? Nowhere. You know what the Word of God says? Make disciples. Right? Now, understand, getting them saved is an important part of that. I'm not taking away from that. We got to get them saved before they make disciples. But what my point being is this. You don't get them saved and leave them alone. You don't abandon them after they're saved. Why? Because Satan will move in so quick and destroy them. Right? So that's simply what Paul wants to do. He wants to go back to these people that they've won to the Lord, encourage them, make sure there's no false doctrine that are creeping into the churches, and just be involved in the lives of these new converts. And Barnabas says, Paul, wonderful idea. Let's go do it. Oh, by the way, let's take John Mark with us. Now, if you've been here for this series of messages, you know how this goes from this point on. John Mark, he was a young man who had accompanied Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary trip. And until he got about halfway through, the Bible says in Pamphylia, about halfway through, Mark up and leaves and goes home. Now, we're not given a lot of details. It's in chapter 13, if my memory is correct. But we're not given a lot of details about Mark's departure, but it's commonly accepted that that mission life was just more than he could handle, right? And he's a young man. He's not ready for all of the persecution and all of the hardships that they're going to endure. As a matter of fact, he comes from a pretty well-to-do family, so he goes from having basically everything to having nothing out on the mission field, and everybody now hates him, right? And so somewhere or about halfway through that journey, Mark says, I've had enough. I'm going home to mama. So he goes back to Jerusalem and to his family. Now, Paul and Barnabas, they're a little more thick-skinned. These guys are a little stronger, a little more mature in the Lord, and they continue on this missionary journey, winning people to the Lord. The only problem is they get ran out of every town they go into. They start preaching the gospel. They win people to the Lord, and ultimately, the Jews rise up against them everywhere they go and run them out of town. As a matter of fact, it's so bad that in Lystra, Paul was stoned, dragged outside the city, and left for dead. And so we're reminded, okay, Paul and Barnabas, they paid the price. You know? I mean, they were willing to do whatever it took. If it cost life or limb, they're going to preach the gospel. But old Mark, he just wasn't there yet, right? And Paul, being the guy that Paul was a strong individual, a strong-minded man. Now, probably physically he was not. Everything I've ever read said he was probably a small, weakling kind of a guy. But, buddy, he was tough as a pine knot, right? He was tough. There was no quit in that guy. And somebody with a strong personality like that, you know, you just tend to not have as much compassion for people who lack courage or are weak, you know, spiritually. And so you kind of get the impression that Paul has the idea, no, if you're a quitter, I don't need you. And he basically does. And so it creates a problem. But somewhere along the way, you know, they've just traveled back to Jerusalem, and it appears that Mark leaves with them when they come back to Antioch. And somewhere along the way, Mark has made known his desire, listen, I really would like to get back into ministry. Because at this point, he's quit, right? No doubt Mark had a little remorse. He was living with guilt. Can you imagine hearing that the Apostle Paul was stoned and you weren't there? You had abandoned them. You know, it's one of those that he's probably thinking at this point, will God ever do anything with me again? Will he ever use me again? And Paul has this strong personality. He just kind of, yeah, whatever. But Barnabas wasn't that kind of guy. Barnabas had, we first met Barnabas in chapter 4 at the Church of Jerusalem. And at the Church of Jerusalem, the apostles gave Barnabas a nickname. You know what his nickname was? Barnabas. His real name's Joseph, right? And so they started calling him Barnabas because he was such an encourager. That name means son of encouragement. That's who he was. It was in his spiritual DNA. And he was continually, wherever they'd go, he was continually putting his arm around people and trying to lift them up and encourage them. And he even exercised that gift on the Apostle Paul. After the Apostle Paul was saved, y'all know how the Apostle Paul persecuted the church, right? After the Apostle Paul was saved, nobody in Jerusalem wanted to have anything to do with him because they didn't trust him. Because he had spent his life killing Christians. Until Barnabas came up, put his arm around old Paul and said, come with me. And he spoke up for Paul and told the brethren about his conversion and that he was a true new disciple of Jesus Christ. And from that point on, the folks in Jerusalem started accepting Paul and his ministry. But it's all because of Barnabas. And now Barnabas sees his cousin, and Mark's his cousin, his family relation, fallen by the wayside, and he can't stand to see this young man just sit by and do nothing anymore. Let me ask you, have you ever known somebody just to quit? It's just, for whatever reason, they failed and they quit. I want to tell you this morning that failure should never be final. Failure should never bring you to the point where you say, I'll never do that again. I've used those words. Have you ever said, I'll never do that again? Well, sometimes people use it as it applies to their ministry and their service to the Lord. And no, that's not where God has brought you, right? I think some people have an unrealistic expectation that God's people never mess up. Wrong. Sometimes they mess up and they feel so much guilt that they leave church and they quit ministering and no. I'm going to tell you another secret. Are you ready for a secret? Are you ready for a secret? God's people are human. God's people are human. And I'm talking everyone from the pulpit to the pew. We're all human. And at some point or another, we all mess up. We've all failed. And the Bible, though, puts us in good company. Because the Bible is filled with failures. King David, we go on, you know, we put him up on this pedestal of being a hero. You know what that guy did? He committed murder. Stole a man's wife. Committed adultery. Man, he blew it. You know, we can look around and everyone does say, y'all blew it. No, David didn't just blow it. He blew it. But God wasn't through with him. Peter. Mr. I'm a man, Peter. You know, I'm the man. I'm the tough guy. Peter denied Jesus. Denied even knowing Jesus. Not once, not twice. But three times, he blew it. But God used him to preach on the day of Pentecost where 3,000 souls were saved. See, what I want you to understand today is our people, our world is filled with people who used to. People who used to go to church. You ever heard that? Where do you go to church? Well, I used to go. What a sad statement. People who used to be a pastor. Well, I used to pastor. Somewhere along the way, they got discouraged and quit. And I understand, you know, we get to the point, pastors get to the point, we have to retire. I get that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those who just come to the point where they've quit. There's a lot of pastors who've quit out there. They used to serve in the church, you know, they used to work with the teens or work in the nursery or used to. God has not called you to be a used to, right? For whatever reason you have fallen by the wayside, it's not a good reason and God is not through with you. Brother Doug, how do you know that? Because you're still breathing. When God gets finished with you, He'll call you home. So what do we do? How do we get over our failures and get back into the ministry? Number one, we need a Barnabas. A son of encouragement. That fellow who comes alongside those who have fallen by the wayside and puts his arm around them and say, come on, let me help you back in ministry. How many of you know somebody who used to go to church? Would you raise your hand, please? They need a Barnabas. How many of you know somebody who used to be active in the church? Raise your hands. And they're not now. They need a Barnabas. That's us. That's what in our text today, that's simply what Barnabas wants to do for Mark. That's what we're commanded to do. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, kick them out," right? Throw them off to the side. They're not usable anymore. No. If anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Have you ever thought, I'll never do that? Look at people, I'll never do that. Well, you better hold on, buddy, because God will put you in a situation and just show you you're not nearly as strong as you think you are. We need Barnabases. People who will grab a hold of those who have fallen by the wayside and encourage them. Come on. Come on back. Serve with me. Get involved. Let's serve the Lord together. That's all Barnabas wants to do with Mark here in this text. Right? And if you're one of those that have fallen by the wayside, maybe you were just so involved at one time and all you do now is you just come for worship. And I'm glad you come for worship, but understand this, you don't quit. You don't stop for any reason, right? You don't. And especially not because of failure. You know what you do? You learn from your failure. Okay? Those are the best lessons. I hate those lessons. I despise failure, you know, on my part. But I must admit, that's where I learn the most. So if you've failed and fallen by the wayside, learn from it. Get up and get back involved. And if somebody doesn't come to your side, you find you a Barnabas. Look around here and say, and just adopt somebody to be your Barnabas, okay? Get back in the ministry. Second thing you didn't know about God's people. God's people disagree. And when they disagree, guess what they do? We argue. Don't we? We argue. You see, we're at that point here in the text, and Barnabas wants to take Mark. And the construction there is, that word want, it means to, he's made up his mind. It means to decide. Barnabas wants to take Mark on this new journey back to the churches, right? Paul, on the other hand, insists that they not take Mark. And the way this is, we don't really get this, but this is the way it's constructed in the Greek. It's something that goes on for a while. Barnabas is like, Paul, we really need to take Mark. Paul's like, there's no way. Barnabas is like, hey, Paul, you know, we haven't talked about it in an hour, so let's take Mark with us on this journey. And Paul's like, no, I've already said no. I've made up my mind. He's not going. And it's just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so these two men are locked in into their position. So much so, they both believe they're right, and it says there occurred a sharp disagreement. Now, the phrase sharp disagreement doesn't do it justice, okay? It literally means an intense emotional turmoil expressed in words. That's the literal meaning of that, okay? Sharp agreement or disagreement. What is it? They are raising their voices. No, Mark is not going. Barnabas is saying, Paul, how can you be so unforgiving? It's back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And both of them are convinced that they're right. No, he doesn't need to go. Yes, he needs to go. It's a serious, passionate argument between two godly men. Now listen, if you're in church long enough, you're going to see something like this. Okay? It's just, God's people are human. Right? And what this does is this reminds me, you know, sometimes we put these guys, Paul and Barnabas and Silas and all these apostles, we put them up on this big pedestal and we think, oh, those guys always had it all together. There was never a disagreement. There was never a problem. Oh, no, they were human and fighting the same battles that we fight, right? And as humans, there's going to be disagreements. God's people would disagree. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And many people, you know, we have the unrealistic expectation, once again, that, well, you know, church people are never supposed to disagree. We just all hold hands all the time and sing, blessed be the tie that binds, and everybody just kind of skips around, is happy all the time. That's, come on. No. No. And here's what I want you to understand. When there is a disagreement among brethren, it's not the end of the world. God's still God. He's still on His throne. And He's still using people to carry out the gospel to the world. Right? So you don't panic. And you certainly don't quit coming to church. And I love the way that Paul and Barnabas handled it. Okay? Now, the reason they were so passionate about it is because they had a love for one another. They were a team. They did everything together. They had been on this mission trip together. Barnabas was there. He had Paul's back and Paul had Barnabas's back. I mean, they were a good team. Until this. Now they both feel the Lord leading them in a different direction. And you know what they do? It says they separate. Literally means to go separate ways. Two different ways, right? They separated from one another to go one's own way. Paul did as he believed God would have led him to do, and Barnabas believed that he did as God would have led him to. Now, our first inclination is, well, who was right and who was wrong? I think they were both right. I think that, and this is a little bit opinion, okay, but I think they were both right, and that God had a different avenue for both of them at this point. Both of them were well seasoned, and both of them could lead on their own. And so they go their different directions. Right? And see, I think that's a great lesson the church has got to learn. Because victory's at a point that for the church to grow, we're going to have to expand ministries. We're going to have to do new things and go in new directions. Okay? I'll give you an example. You say, okay, that preacher's got something in mind. No, I don't. I'm just telling you. Okay? When it comes up. Last summer, we did the most wonderful thing. It's called small groups. Okay? Man, some relationships were built. Are you listening to me? Okay. Some relationships were built that's still going strong. Our Sunday evening service attendance was over 200 every Sunday evening. Now, we were meeting in homes. We were building relationships. We were getting to know people. It was wonderful. But I also know that that it knocked some for a loop, you know, because everybody's not at the church doing the same thing at the same time. The success of that ministry was tremendous, okay? Now, there was a group that met at the church, which was wonderful. You say, Brother Doug, what are you saying? I'm saying don't let stuff like that bend you out of shape when ministries go separate ways. You don't have to all be together at the same time for everything. Okay? That's my point. Right? When we do something different, it's not the end of the world. We're not trying to cancel Sunday night service. And I'm telling you this now to prepare you because we're going to do it again next summer. Because it was so good. It was such a blessing, right? And so what you do is you back up, and if you feel that you're supposed to be at the church on Sunday night, then you join that small group that's meeting at the church on Sunday nights, and you do your thing. And if you want to go to a house group, then you go to a house group. Do your thing. You understand this, we're not talking doctrinal, okay? We're talking activity. And you have to be able to come to that point where you realize that, okay, not everybody's the same. Everybody has different needs and different desires, and they need to go in different directions. And that's simply what Paul and Barnabas did here. Barnabas was not wrong. Paul was not wrong. Both ministries were needed at that time. Both things that they were supposed to were needed. Folks, oftentimes, you know, last summer, Sunday night needed a little shot in the arm. Right? That small group ministry gave us a shot in the arm. And now that we've come back, our Sunday night attendance has been better than it's been in a very long time. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not complaining. I'm not throwing stones. I'm saying, listen, we got to be open enough to let people be led by God. Okay? That's the point. You say, what if it doesn't work? I promise you, everything we try all the time will not work. It never does. It never does. But the good news is this. God fixes our messes. Okay? He can take our mess and turn it into something good. Now, Paul and Barnabas, you have to understand, they didn't shake hands when they parted company. They were mad. They were angry. And it was like, okay, go do your thing. And God took that. And we see God working in both of them very intentionally. He took Paul and Silas, and they go on that mission trip and start encouraging the brethren. And do you know the most memorable thing on this second mission trip was the church at Philippi? Actually, it was the city of Philippi, and they beat them and threw them into prison. And you remember what they did at midnight? What did they do? Sing praises. And Paul and Silas sang praises. And God sent an earthquake and shook the prison doors open, and the jailer almost killed himself. Paul said, stop, we're all still here. And ultimately that jailer was saved. It was Paul and Silas in that ministry. God used those two guys. Right? That's my point. God used them in a wonderful way. What about old Barnabas? Now, I don't know a lot about what Barnabas and Mark did after that, but here's what I do know. Mark was sitting on the sidelines at this point. After Barnabas takes him and goes to Cyprus, somewhere he gets involved with Peter. And getting involved with Peter, he becomes a really close associate of Peter. And ultimately, Mark writes the Gospel of Mark. And I thought, you know, if Barnabas hadn't put his arm around Mark, said, come on, let's get back with it, we might have only had three Gospels. Matthew, Luke, and John. No, but Barnabas put his arm around Mark and said, come on, buddy. He got him involved with Peter somewhere along the way. And a lot of people think that Peter told Mark what to put down in that. He was just writing what Peter told him in the Gospel of Mark. I don't know, I wasn't there, right? But it's pretty interesting. But my point being this. God can take even our messes and do great things with them. Because He's God. And ultimately, He has a plan that is much bigger than you and I. Isn't it so cool to know that God's still on His throne? And you know, we look at the world and everything's happening in the world and we think, oh, things are terrible. No, they're not. God is still working. We know how it will end one day, but praise God, everything's just falling into place. You know, God still knows what He's doing. The beautiful thing is that a little later on, Paul does accept and receive graciously the ministry of Mark. You know, you kind of get the idea. He's kind of mad at him here, but in 2 Timothy 4:11, when Paul's in prison, he says, "Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for service." Somewhere along the way, Paul got this, okay, I like old Mark. He's a good guy. He failed, but he's a good guy. You know? And as we serve, as we look at one another, let's be realistic. Okay? From the pastor to the associate pastors to one another, we're not perfect. Okay? That's why we're encouraged in the Word of God to be patient, to be kind, to be affectionate. Because those patience and kindness and affection will be tried along the way because we all mess up. I did this week. Somebody was in church and one of our church members, and they asked me a question, and buddy, I snapped. I snapped at him, you know, and I turned around and walked away. And as I was walking away, God said, "Hold it." I love it when God does that, but I also hate it. You know, God said, "Whoa, young man. You need to go back and you apologize to him." Have you ever just woke up angry? Or am I the only one that does that? It's one of those mornings. And I went back and I told him, "Man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to come out the way it did. I just apologize. And I'll try to never let that happen again." But it reminded me, I'm one of these guys that can mess up just like that. And you are too. So let's be realistic with one another. When we mess up, don't condemn. Don't throw anybody to the wayside. Come beside them, put your arm around them and say, "Here, I'm going to help you back up." God's not through with them. Neither should we be. Amen. Number two, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You see, the wonderful thing about not being perfect is that we know who is perfect. And that's Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. You see, we don't go to heaven because of our righteousness, for there are none good, not even one. We go to heaven based on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, He died for our sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, everyone that's ever entered this world, we've had a sin problem. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the good news is, Jesus never sinned. And as the Lamb of God, He was the sacrifice who died for your sins and for mine. And now today, we're given a promise. And that promise is, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Listen, you can't earn salvation. You can't deserve salvation. You can only ask for salvation. But if you ask, He'll save you. How do you know, Brother Doug? Romans 10:13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Listen, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you to come. I want to invite you to come. Come to Jesus. And if you're here and you're one of those that have fallen by the wayside, it's time to get back up. Dust yourself off and get back in the Lord's work. We love you. and we want to serve the Lord with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you for the church family. We thank you, Lord, for just the privilege of serving you. And yes, Lord, we're reminded today that we're not all perfect. None of us are perfect. That we all have a sin problem. Father, we praise you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, I pray for those who have fallen by the wayside. And for whatever reason, Lord, I pray that this morning you'll draw them to you. And that they will come and they rededicate their life and get back involved in the ministry again. And Father, I pray for every decision that's made here today, you will be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.